It's always a joy to worship the Lord. Can we just pray together again before we read the word and we go into scripture? Most holy God, as we take your word in our hand and as we read together and for a moment we listen, can we just ask as always that through your Holy Spirit, you will open our hearts and make them receptive to your word? Will you clear our minds so that we can hear the words that you are speaking to each one of us? Thank you for these amazing words. Words that come from a long time ago, and yet words that echo into this world. And as we continue in this series, Lord, called Do Not Fear, thank you that we know that you are with us, always, through every circumstance. Speak clearly, Lord. We want to listen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we continue our little series on Do Not Fear, for I am with you. Today we're going to Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 7, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Exodus 17, verse 1. At the Lord's command, the whole community of Israel left the wilderness of Sin and moved from place to place. Eventually, they camped at Rephidim, but there was no water there for the people to drink. So once more the people complained against Moses. "Give us water to drink," they demanded. "Quiet," Moses replied. "Why are you complaining against me? And why are you testing the Lord?" But tormented by thirst, they continued to argue with Moses. "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Are you trying to kill us, our children, and our livestock with thirst?" And then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What should I do with these people? They are ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Walk out in front of the people. Take your staff, the one you used when you struck the water of the Nile, and call some of the elders of Israel to join you. And I will stand before you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come gushing out, and then the people will be able to drink." So Moses struck the rock as he was told, and water gushed out as the elders looked on. Moses named the place Massah, which means test, and Meribah, which means arguing, because the people of Israel argued with Moses and tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord here with us or not?" So in our scripture passage today, we find Israel in the wilderness. It's an in-between time, a transitional time for them. They're not slaves in Egypt anymore, but they're also not in the promised land yet. They're in this in-between transitional phase. Now Israel's history in the desert is a bit of an embarrassment, especially in the way in which they conducted themselves in difficult times when things didn't go the way that they wanted them to go. Someone noted somewhere and said, the book of Exodus is a book filled with wonders, miracles. But for Israel, it's actually a book filled with complaints and complaining and groaning against the Lord. Now, the theme of the wilderness, I think, is the perfect theme for the time in which we live. Because both of them speak of being, and for lack of a better word, being in thin places. Places that do not have too many resources. And the moment we land in these sin places where the resources become less and less, what happens is we're confronted with the reality of God. Is God there? With the reliability of God, can God help? And then the one that makes me smile a little bit, because it's all about us. Our ability, or in some instances, inability to trust God in these thin places, to provide the resources that right now we can't see. So that's where I want to take you today in this Fear Not series. It's that God is with us, but it's all about trust. So against this backdrop, let me take you back to the scene at Rephidim. Now, we don't know much about Rephidim. We don't know where Rephidim was. It seems to have been close to Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. Same place, just different name for the same place. Seems to have been close to that. But the one thing that we do know about Rephidim is that it was a place with a need. It was a dry, hot place that lacked one of the most basic necessities that you would need in a thin place like that, and that was water. And the problem with water in the desert is you don't just turn a tap and the water starts running. There are no taps with running water in the desert. The problem with water in the desert is you can't just make water, because we can't make water. So what to do? So the people go to Moses. Because see, Moses is the leader. And of course, the leader always has to do everything, and he has to know everything, and he has to provide everything. So they demand from Moses, "We demand you give us water," because they felt that they were entitled to the water. "Give us water." Verse 2. What can Moses do? He has no tap. He can't make the water. And that's the moment, my friend. In the thin place, the leader can't do anything. We're in between. We have no resources. And that's the moment that we come face to face with God and with the reality of God, because there is no alternative. We can't turn a tap. Moses can't do a thing. God. You see, that's the thing about these thin places. Once we run out of our own resources, once the world that in the way in which we knew the world changes and changes forever, the one reality that we need to face, and where we come face to face, is the reality of God. No alternative. But let me show you what happens in this moment when this is it. Face to face with no one can help, no resources, thin place. And all of a sudden, the question changes. The water question all of a sudden becomes the God question. Verse 7. People go to Moses. "Moses, you're the one who came to us, and you said, God said that you're the one who was sent to take us out of Egypt so we wouldn't struggle anymore, although we had it all good there. And you took us into the desert, and now we're in the desert, and now there's no water, and no one is providing for us. So here's the question," started with water. Here's the question, verse 7. "Is the Lord here with us or not?" Started with a water question about resources, and now it's about the reality of God. Is God here with us or not? Now you see, my friends, the Bible doesn't everywhere assume the presence of God. But the Bible knows the absence of God. The absence of God's presence is always overwhelming. Just think of Hagar, if we stay in the Old Testament for a second, Genesis chapter 21, when Abraham and Sarah kicked her and her little baby Ishmael out, and they were kicked out into the desert, and she went to Be'er Lahai-Ru'i, the place where the Lord would see my face, or Beersheba, the seven fountains, and she sat there, and she's just terrified and she's just overwhelmed because she feels that God is absent and no one is there and her first wish is to die. Just ask the Lord Jesus when he was hanging on that cross and he cried in the words of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken? Echoing the words of some person who lamented that the presence of the Lord wasn't there and they felt that they were all alone. And that's where Israel is right now. They have no resources. They're in a thin place. Moses can't provide. And so they ask the God question. Is God with us? Don't give us theology, Moses. Don't give us big words, Moses. We want water. We want and fill in the blanks. We need and fill in the blanks. Is God present? If God says, fear not, I am with you, is God there in the thin places when we have no resources and we've come to the end of our line and the world as we know it has changed? So let me take you to that second thing that we're confronted with, not just the reality of God, but the reliability of God. So God hears their anguish. God hears their fears. God, in a sense, I know, knows their anger towards God and knows that all of this happens because here they are in this thin place and this is what they're doing right now. This is their response towards God and towards Moses right now. So God answers their question. And when God answers, he answers in a spectacular way. Just read this with me again. The Lord said to Moses, walk out in front of the people, and then take your staff, the one you used when you struck the water of the Nile. Call some of the elders of Israel to join you, and I will stand before you on the rock at Horeb. And then strike the rock, and water will come gushing out, and then the people will be able to drink. So Moses struck the rock as he was told, and water gushed out as the elders looked on. I want to say, as the elders looked on in astonishment. Is the Lord here or not? And God answers. And God provides water in a spectacular way. God provides the water that would give life in a place that was dry and empty and very thin. And in the moment that God provides water, God gives the answer. Yes, I am with you. Yes, God is able to take a wilderness and change that wilderness into a place that overflows with the goodness of God. Yes, God is reliable. Yes, God is faithful. Yes, we can trust God to provide in the thin places that which we need. Yes, that's God's answer. Yes, right there where you are. Do you hear that, my friends? Can I take you back to our theme? Fear not, for I am with you. Is the Lord with us? In the thin places, when it feels like he's gone, when we're right at our own refidim? Yes, I am with you. God's answer was a yes. But there's a third thing that I think that the whole thing hinges on and that we need to see. Remember, I said it confronts us with three things, the reality of God, the reliability of God, and I said the third one is the one that kind of makes me smile a little bit, and that is our ability to trust and sometimes our inability to trust in God to provide in the thin places. So we also need to see that this is a story of trust. Actually, of Israel not trusting God. Because they didn't go to Moses and say, Moses, could we come before God and could we pray and ask God to provide as God has provided manna and quail he's done so often? Could we go ask God? You brought us. We're dying of thirst. You give us water. Is God even with us? They're angry. They demand. And here's the thing. That doesn't show God that we're trusting. And God wants us to know that, yes, He's there. Yes, He's always been reliable. Yes, we can trust God. And so we'll see a little later when God gives a commentary on Exodus 17, He doesn't take too kindly to us doing this. All of a sudden questioning everything. So go with me to God's commentary. And we find this in Psalm 95. We always read the first 3, 4, 5 verses. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. We like that piece, but we usually don't read verse 7 to 11. But let me read that for you. Commentary from God on this moment. Remember what Moses called the place? Massah and Meribah, because that's where they tested and argued. Listen today, Psalm 95, verse 7b, to what God says. Don't be stubborn as your ancestors were at Meribah, as they were that day in the desert at Massah. There they put me to the test and tried me, although they'd seen what I did for them. For 40 years I was disgusted with those people, and I said, how disloyal they are. They refuse to obey my commands. And I was angry, and I made a solemn promise. You will never enter the land where I would have given you rest. That's a little scary, isn't it? God doesn't take too kindly to us testing God. God doesn't need to be tested or tried. God doesn't need to jump through our hoop. You see, my friends, hear this. God's goodness and God's godness is not proven in material things, in the things that we want and the things that we say we need. God's goodness is found in who God is and how God cares and how God has always been there also in the really thin places. To trust God means that we go to that place in John 4 where He sits with a Samaritan woman and He talks about water and she doesn't get it. And then in a moment she realizes, oh, I get. And she says, please, sir, I hear you talk about the water of life. Please give me that water that I too might live so that I don't have to come back to this place over and over in the thin places, because I know you will give me that water and it will become a fountain in me that will gush out of me always, even in my thin places when my resources have run out. Yes, God is with us. And God will give the rest. Those who didn't trust, 40 years, they wandered the desert and they never went into the promise. All God wants is to say, I'm in a thin place, God. And it feels like I'm a little overwhelmed. Will you just be there? Will you just be that water? And you know what God will do? God will give the water that gives life, also in the thin places. It's all about trust. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that we could do this again this morning. Walk through your word. And hear you speak and speak a little bluntly when you remind us of who you are, what you do, but that you also ask us to walk with you and trust you because you have never changed. You are the one that saw us in our dry, empty, thin place, and you sent your Son into this world. You see us in a world that has changed and that makes us fearful, and you are with us. Yes, the Lord is with us. Help us then, Lord, to live that every day, to live in your presence and to trust you that the Lord will see and the Lord will provide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.